about. So easy.
You gotta put it in perspective.
Hello! Hello, everyone. Is this thing on? I'm just kidding. I have no thing. I'm sure you're all wondering what you're doing here or who you're going to be doing it with.
If you don't mind, I will begin at the beginning.
It's a new day. Let's get going.
One, two, three.
Bad boy!
Four, five, six.
B.I.G.
Ladies and gentlemen, long before most of you have risen from your downy cots, a certain young man is standing before a microphone introducing a radio program.
Beer mugs fat. Fat, 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 fat. Beer mugs fat. Fat, fat, fat. Beer mugs fat.
I am 13 pounds overweight and it has been awful for me my whole life.
Oh, I don't know what you're saying. It all sounds so crazy to me.
No. I'm a doctor.
Of what?
Partying.
Our feature presentation.
By the way, he is a doctor of partying. I mean, in his defense,
sure,
his claim is true. Morning, everybody. Brand new Kevin and Bean show. It is a Monday morning.
Hey, Lisa.
Hey, Bean.
How are they?
I just thought I'd let him ask. They're
you wanted
fantastic.
To see if I really would, didn't you?
Yes.
They are fantastic. All right, look, it is Monday, as Kevin mentioned. It's butt-ass dark and butt-ass early and apparently butt-ass cold.
It's butt-ass cold.
That's what I heard it's the coldest morning in Los Angeles in 22 years.
Really?
It's the coldest morning in the history of the world, Dean.
Yeah. It's practically icy.
That's right. That's right.
I know we have a lot of ground to cover, a lot of things to talk about. I know that we'll be getting in depth with the Golden Globes with some audio a little bit later on. But can we just briefly spend a minute and ask what's going on with Jodie Foster?
Yes.
Oh,
what
my
is
God.
Going on with Jodie Foster?
Jodie Foster has gone bye-bye.
That was crazy.
I have some clips. We'll play them next hour, like Bean said.
Yeah,
and,
yeah, yeah.
And if you didn't see it, you'll get a chance to hear it, and you'll go, wow, Wow, what's going on?
It was so strange for so many reasons because, look, Jodie Foster was there, for folks who don't know anything about this story, she was there because she was being honored with their Lifetime Achievement Awards at the Golden Globes last night. They call it the Cecil B. DeMille Award, is that
yes,
right?
Yes, and being, that's first strange thing.
What?
Jodie Foster is, as we now all know, 50.
Yeah.
Right.
And yes, she's acted for a lot of years, but I looked around that room and I thought of so many other people that I think would have been more appropriate at this moment.
That are actually old?
Glenn Close comes to mind.
Yeah.
Mm. It's just an odd choice.
Yeah, I don't know what the nominating criteria are for that. She seemed like a good choice to me because she's a multiple Oscar winner and has been a phenomenal actress and a great director and just by all accounts one of the most loved people in Hollywood. And that's why it was so weird because everyone loves Jodie Foster. I've never heard anyone say a bad thing about her. She's super, super smart. She went to Yale and everybody enjoys working with her. But she got up there and she was so super defensive for the whole thing. For those of you who think that I'm out, I'm here to talk about my sexuality. How about a little respect for my privacy? And nobody had said anything to her about it.
Yeah.
And probably like hasn't in 10 years.
Yeah. It was like, because it's been, it's kind of known. I mean, it's not a surprise that she's, been a lesbian for a long time, but it's not like she's being hounded day in and day out to make a statement on it, yet somehow she went on television as if she were. And that was weird.
It was bizarre. 45 seconds in, I said out loud, what's going on? Like, I didn't know if I was being punked or what was happening.
I thought Kevin Costner was going to get the Ramble Award.
Oh, my God.
But nope, Jody swept.
Jody brought it up and then yelled at us for not respecting her privacy.
Yes.
Hey, haven't I done enough for you? I've been in show business for 47 years. Leave me the F alone, she says as she agrees to go on stage on an international audience to accept an award.
And yes, I broke up with my girlfriend, but I don't want to talk about it.
Right. And then she said something. She's leaving showbiz. She may never be on the stage again.
Right.
But
yes. But everything was just so super cryptic that if what she was trying to do is say, I don't want to act anymore, like a lot of people have said, by the way, I don't want to act anymore, but I want to work behind the cameras. I want to write or I want to direct or whatever. That would have been fine. You could say something.
That's how
like
you
that.
Say it.
But it was just so – it was so weird. I'm going to have a different talking stick, and maybe it won't be so sparkly. I mean, it was like watching Tracy Jordan.
Yes.
It was bizarre.
And behind the scenes, after the speech, when they interviewed her backstage, she said, you would have to drag me away to keep me from continuing to act.
What?
Yes. Well, that's not it.
What's happening? I'm so happy to hear you say that, Bean, because usually when I'm scratching my head – Bean knows a good reason for what's going on, and he'll say, well, you didn't know that A, B, and C?
Yes.
And I usually don't.
No, not
sense.
This time.
Okay,
it's
good.
Out of the blue. It is out of the blue. And she's asking for a wolf whistle at one point. She's
yeah,
like, hey,
right.
why is nobody not whistling at how hot I am? Hey, don't look at me. Yeah, it was that kind of thing.
It was bizarre.
Well, I know we're going to hear some of it later, but I just wanted to find out if there's any explanation that I didn't know about. Do you?
I haven't heard anything.
It wasn't. I mean, it was just 10 minutes of just solid, nonstop going from one thing. It was like watching a schizophrenic person.
Yeah, that's true.
Yeah. I don't know.
It was great.
Bizarre.
And if Mel Gibson is your best friend, what's going on in your life, by the way?
Yeah, you do have trouble, yeah.
You're honked up, right?
That's true. And then at one point, it looked like he was about to cry.
I know. His face looked very weird.
I don't know. It was.
I don't know. I think he was worried for her.
Could be, yeah. He might have been sitting there thinking, what's happening? The same exact same thing we are. I'm her friend. I can't explain this.
Well, good times, that's for sure, at the Golden Globes. That's something that none of us expected. That's for certain.
All right, let's talk about today's Kevin and Bean Show, shall we?
You're a disease. If I see you on the street, I will f*** you up.
All right. Golden Globe highlights, as Bean said. We will have those coming up in the 6 o'clock hour. We have Harvey Levin from TMZ.com. Maybe he can give us a little history on Jodie Foster.
Yeah, that would be good.
He's pretty smart.
Help us figure it out. We are going to talk to Andrew Siciliano about the NFL weekend.
Do we have to?
We do.
Okay.
Being Seattle Seahawks made it way further than my Arizona Cardinals, but we'll still be watching on the couch next weekend.
Lisa, they had the greatest fourth quarter comeback in NFL playoff history yesterday and then lost it in the last 31 seconds.
Oh, what a shame.
It was that kind of game.
Yeah. We also have Jimmy Kimmel on the program today.
Yeah.
Talking about kicking the asses of Jay Leno and David Letterman, which he must be broken up about. We talked to Sal about it on Friday, but beating Letterman, who is his hero since he was a child, it's got to be a little weird for him. So that's coming up as well. And I don't know, a little feature we like to call Thanks That Info Beat.
How dare you?
That's coming up, too. We'll take a break. We will come back with the Showbiz Beat next on K-Rock. 106.7 K-Rock is KROQ, and this is the Kevin and Bean Show at 5:53.
As you know, this morning we're giving away destination number one of the K-Rock World Tour 2013. That's where we're sending someone to Australia. Is that better?
Yeah.
It's a good. Cannot wait for this promotion to end.
Well, it ends in about an hour. That's to see Linkin Park. And, of course, we're rolling out destination number two, which this time, guys, is Muse in, Paris, France. How about that?
Paris, France!
Complete details and your chance to qualify coming up in just a few minutes. Right now, Ralph's got the Showbiz Beat here on a Monday. Kevin and Bean Show. Good morning, Ralph.
It is Monday. That means we take a look at the top box office films over the weekend and see where people were spending their movie money, and it turns out that Zero Dark Thirty surprised everyone by pulling out the number one slot of the weekend, made $24 million this weekend. Did Zero Dark Thirty, making that number one, then A Haunted House. See, because it's the Wayans, and there's a ghost in the house, and it's black people being ghosty.
And this movie's probably already profitable.
$18.8 million made it number one this weekend. Gangster Squad, surprisingly, came in third. A lot of people picked that to be the number one movie this weekend. Made $16.7 million. Then Django Unchained. Fourth. Les Mis was fifth. The Hobbit, Lincoln, Parental Guidance, Texas Chainsaw 3D, and Silver Linings Playbook at number 10 with just a little bit over $5 million. People saying Silver Linings Playbook might get a little boost from its attention there at the Golden Globes last night. So maybe it'll start picking up in the top 10 again. Last night, of course, were the Golden Globe Awards. Everybody was there in their finery, getting loaded, having a lot of good times. Here are some of your winners in case you missed the show last night. Golden Globe Awards for TV went to Homeland for Best Drama. Also, Claire Danes and Damian Lewis winning for actor and actress in a drama. So a big sweep there by Homeland. Comedy, Girls picked up the best comedy over there on HBO. Lena Dunham, star, creator, and producer of that show, won for best actress in a comedy. Then Don Cheadle did for House of Lies. Best TV movie or miniseries, Game Change. The story about choosing Sarah Palin as the vice president. Was the best movie for television. Julianne Moore won for that role as Sarah Palin. Kevin Costner won again He's winning a lot of awards for this role in Hatfields and McCoys. Maggie Smith from Downton Abbey was Best Supporting Actress in a Movie or Miniseries, and then Ed Harris for Game Change. When it came to movies, Argo did very well for itself, winning both Best Drama and Best Director. Ben Affleck picked up an award for Argo. Jessica Chastain won for her role in Zero Dark Thirty for Best Actress in a Drama. Daniel Day-Lewis, no surprise there, picked up Best Actor for Lincoln for Actor in a Drama. Best Movie, Musical, or Comedy, Les Mis. Best Actress in a Musical or Comedy, Jennifer Lawrence for Silver Linings Playbook. And then Best Actor in a Musical or Comedy, Hugh Jackman for Les Miserables, who I thought had the best speech of the evening. Some people have a knack for being able to get in front of the camera and just be gracious and pleasant and humorous and succinct, and they just put it all out there, and they seem very charming and nice, and then they get off the stage.
Here's my takeaway from Hugh Jackman, which is that he makes all other husbands look like poo, because he gets up there and he's talking about how beautiful his wife is and how she's always right and he couldn't be anywhere without her, just on and on and on.
Was your wife blaring at you?
Of course.
The best part is, in a speech like that, he doesn't just do it, because a lot of people do it, but then he said, I was going to quit this movie. I couldn't do it. I couldn't make it, and she was the one who talked me back into it. Yeah. So it was like an interesting glimpse into his life. Even a guy like Hugh Jackman has self-doubts, and his wife was able there to talk him off the ledge. So that was a nice story. And the fact that he had the tires from his bicycle stolen when he had ridden his bike to the audition for Les Mis, and he forgave that person and said he was going to put the frame of his bicycle back in the same place if they wanted to steal the rest of it.
So. Were you surprised to hear that he did have to audition for that role? I mean, we all know that he can sing and dance and
act. Yeah, he's hosted all those Tonys and everything. Yeah,
it surprised me.
No, because that musical was widely coveted by a ton of stars who wanted to be in it.
Ah.
And so I guess they probably took the top five off their star list and had him sing a couple songs from the show, you know, to see who could carry it, who couldn't. So. Olivia Wilde.
Yes.
She's a good deal right there.
Yep.
Well, too late, fellas. She's getting married. She and Jason Sudeikis are getting married.
Really? Him again.
Yeah, him again. I'm surprised he's marrying anyone, given his track record.
He's Me too.
He's working his way through Hollywood. But her reps have confirmed that she indeed will be getting married soon. He popped the question over the holidays, and they're very, very, very much in love. Just like Britney Spears and Jason Trawick. Oh, wait a minute. They have announced that they have canceled their wedding, and they are no longer engaged, and they are breaking up. Come on. Shave your head, Britney. Come on. Get back to the good stuff.
We want her back.
Yeah.
I did wonder if he's gone and now she's lost her job over there at the X Factor. Is this the beginning of a spiral for Britney? I don't know.
Come on, spiral. You can do it. And congratulations, everyone. Well, we just have reason to celebrate. We live in a world now where it has been announced that a Madea Christmas is currently in the works.
All right.
For this holiday season.
No,
yeah.
No. All right.
Tyler Perry has announced a Madea Christmas. Madea gets talked into visiting a friend's daughter in a small town for the holidays.
Wasn't the word on the last Madea movie, which was a giant stiff at the box office, that he had just given up and was barely trying anymore?
That was before Alex Cross, my friend. He's going to go back to the well and hit us with another Madea. But the best part is Larry the Cable Guy has joined the cast.
All right. Thank God. Now this movie has everything.
It is a perfect storm. It is a tsunami of bad coming off the movie screen this Christmas.
Where's Marlon Wayans? Can't he be in it too?
I don't know. I don't know how they passed on him. Let me see what the rest of the cast looks like here. Chad Michael Murray, Larry the Cable Guy, Tika Supner, and Kathy Najimy have all joined the cast of A Madea Christmas. So circle your calendars.
Can't wait.
Holy crap. Today's celebrity birthdays, Caleb Followill. He's dreamy. Kings of Leon, singer and guitarist. He's 31. Our buddy Dave Grohl of Foo Fighters celebrates his 44th birthday today. Jason Bateman, who was on the show last night in the Golden Globes in half of a very funny sketch. He is 44 years old. LL Cool J is 45. Zach Wilde turns 46 years old. Steven Soderbergh celebrates his 50th birthday. Carl Weathers, Apollo, Mother Effin' Creed. And also the acting coach from Arrested Development, if I remember correctly. 65 years old. And actress Faye Dunaway is 72. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the show business.
Harvey Levin from TMZ.com joins us in minutes here on a Monday Kevin Bean Show. Then we've got a bunch of audio highlights from last night's Golden Globes. Taylor Swift.
I'm sorry?
Taylor Swift.
Tadoff Swindler.
Some people call her that, yeah. She's not going through a great time right now. You know, she just broke up with her latest boyfriend, that kid from One Direction. She was at the Golden Globes last night by herself. I don't know if that was by choice or if she doesn't have anyone to hang out with her anymore.
I imagine that's the second one, yeah.
I missed the reaction shot, I guess, Lisa, that you were just talking about, because I was watching Adele. But when Taylor Swift lost her Golden Globe-nominated song category last night to Adele singing Skyfall, what happened?
Well, they flashed the camera to Taylor, yeah. And Adele was hilarious and charming and funny, and I don't know how you couldn't be watching her and laughing and smiling.
Yeah.
And she just had this, ooh, I just smelled something bad look on her face. Her mouth was kind of open like she was trying to smile, but it was really just... ew, sour.
She was putting out a brave face.
A terrible job of a brave face.
Not very well. That's the point. Yeah. You could tell she was trying to do that.
Oh, yeah.
Well, a lot of people have been speculating why she can't keep a boyfriend for more than 3 weeks. And there's a new article out on Radar Online that we want to talk about. In fact, Kevin, let's run this theory by Tadoff Swindler, who we have on the phone with us right now here on the Kevin and Bean Show. Hi, Taylor. How are you?
Oh, my God. Oh, my God. I can't believe y'all calling me.
We had this set up with your people, Taylor. You knew we were calling. It's not a surprise. It's not a surprise, Taylor.
Oh, thank you for calling me. I can't believe you're calling me. That's fine.
It's no problem.
That's fine. All right. So Radar Online is exclusively reporting. A source close to you, Taylor, says the reason that you got dumped by Harry Styles from One Direction is because you won't put out. You're asexual and you won't put out. Those two things, which go hand in hand. Is that true?
I can't believe y'all saying that about me.
Well, he said he was your boyfriend. He's the one that said it.
I'm asexual?
Yes.
Uh-huh.
That's like top of the list, right? Like asexual, bisexual, C-sexual, D-sexual.
Nope, sure.
Does it work?
I got an A, sexual. Oh my God, I'm asexual.
According to sources, Harry wants to go out. You know, he's a young man because you only date teenagers. He wants to go clubbing and, you know, just having a good time. And you just want to stay at home and, you know, work on your antiquing.
I do love antiques.
Is it true you don't put out?
That's crazy. Of course, I'm very sexy and sexual. Look at me. Oh, look at me. I'm sexy.
We can't see you. We're just talking to you on the phone.
I can't believe y'all said that.
I'm saying it's not coming from us.
I'm kind of angry at you right now.
Oh, no. Don't be angry at us, Taylor. We're just asking you some questions.
We will never, ever, ever do an interview together.
Oh, no.
A new song.
Oh, you're working on a new song?
Yeah, you guys are going to be on the list.
I hope not.
Because Harry dumped you, so I'm sure you're in there really trying.
That's my other new song.
Oh, okay.
I will never, ever, ever date English guys because they're uncircumcised. Nothing to do with Harry. It's just a song I'm working on.
Seems like a bit of a cheap shot, but all right.
It's just a song I'm working on.
Okay, all right.
Well, why do you talk like that, Taylor? Why don't you just talk like a normal person?
Oh, my God.
You know, Aldo.
We'll never, ever, ever talk like a normal person.
That's not even trying. You know, Taylor is kind of in a tough spot when you think about it, because if she does put out, everybody talks about how she's a slut. If she doesn't put out, everybody talks about how she's a prude. What's she supposed to do, really?
Put out?
I'm right here. I can hear you. You know that, right?
Now, from last night's Golden Globes, Jodie Foster.
Well, for all of you SNL fans, I'm 50. I'm 50. You know, I need to do that without this dress on, but, you know, maybe later at Trader Vic's, boys and girls. What do you say? I'm 50. You know, I was going to bring my walker tonight, but it just didn't go with the cleavage. Robert, I want to thank you for...
What was happening? She changed topics 10 times in that first 30 seconds.
What's the reference, Bean?
Reference to what?
SNL fans. I'm 50.
I don't know. That's a sketch or something. I guess that she was... I did not get that. But I did think in the first 15 seconds of her on stage that she was plastered.
Yes.
I really did. She looked like she was drunk and just kind of manic with the walker and everything. And like you said, Kevin, just switching topics. And then it just got more and more bizarre the further she went into it. And Harvey Levin, who is the celebrity whisperer from TMZ.com, joins us on the phone like he does every Monday. Good morning, Harvey.
What the?
That's what we're saying. What
oh
the
my
indeed?
God. I mean, I hope she was drunk.
Yes, because if not, she's crazy.
It's hard to imagine with her kids there, though.
it was the most bizarre thing. And it's funny because, you know, listen, Mel Gibson is a little bit manic and just thinking, oh, I get it now.
And so I mean, is Robert Downey Jr., by the way, her two best friends.
You know what, honestly, I mean, I love Robert Downey Jr., but he was wacko too.
He's nuts, yeah.
Yeah, he is nuts.
It was insane. But what she said, or I guess I'm not quite sure what she said.
No one is.
I mean, connecting the dots on that one is bizarre. But I kind of think I know what she was saying. I think she was saying, look, I'm not going to come out because I have no duty to anybody. I have a right of privacy, but sure. I've done it to people who mattered. So I'm going to do it on my terms, and then I'm going to thank somebody, but I'm not coming out. I'm just thanking somebody, and it made no sense.
But here's what we were talking about earlier, Harvey, and tell me if this makes any sense to you. It's not like she's being hounded day and night by the paparazzi trying to out her. She's the one who brought it up. How can you go out on stage, broach the topic of your own sexuality, and then complain that your privacy isn't being respected?
Well, I kind of disagree. I mean, look, there have been, you know, different sites and people writing about this for years and years and years, and they've, you know, speculated, they've said, they've, you know, whatever. So she has been kind of hounded by it. I mean, it's in her life, you know, her name, when she Googles her name, she sees all this crap. And, yeah. You know, and look, on a level, she's right. I mean, she doesn't owe a duty to anybody, and, you know, that's the way she wants, you know, however she wants to live her life is her choice. But, it, you know, and then end it.
But
don't tell us you've broken up with someone and then
you have to think, well, what, wait a minute, why did we go through this in the first place? And then with everything else, with the walker and the, oh, I'm not going to act again, but I may act again, and I'm in 50 years, and I'm the cleavage, and oh, my God. God.
It was unbelievable. Let's play a little bit more.
Everything for your bat-crazed, rapid-fire brain, the sweet intro. I love you and Susan, and I am so grateful that you continually talk me off the ledge when I go on and foam at the mouth and say, I'm done with acting, I'm really done, I'm done. Trust me, 47 years in the film business is a long time.
Here's what I love about that. Everybody's there getting a lot of people getting acting awards. These are actors, a lot of them.
And then it's like, oh, God.
Oh, boy, does this suck, man. I won out.
They keep making me do it.
What's going on with it? And I didn't know, Harvey, because usually what happens to me when I'm watching something is I just take for granted that I missed something. Like, I was surprised. I was surprised she brought up the
gay thing.
The gay thing, because I thought that had been put to bed 20 years ago. Who cares now? And then she's talking about quitting acting and everything she said.
Well, no, but then she says, Robert Downey Jr. says, he's talked me off a ledge, And then she says, and I'm quitting acting.
I know.
And I guess she said backstage when she was asked, when she went back
that
there,
she wasn't quitting acting.
That she wasn't quitting acting. And is what she's trying to say that she just doesn't want to be in front of the camera as much anymore? She wants to direct? I mean, what's the point of going on and spending 10 minutes on national TV and having nobody understand what you're trying to say?
You know the sad part about this is she is a great actress.
Agreed.
And she's a great director.
Yep.
And it's like kind of just low key it when you do stuff like this, because now it's like Sally Fields. It's like, you like me, you really like me. It's
right.
Like, you know, at a point, you know, that's what you're remembered for. And people are going to remember this more than they're going to remember Silence of the Lambs at this point.
So neither of you, Bean or Harvey, neither of you have seen anything. And like when she gets interviewed, she's not like that. I mean, this was a complete surprise.
No, you rarely see you don't see emotion from her usually. She's one of those people who's just super smart and super in control and super articulate.
Right.
It's very rare to see her kind of go off the rails like this. Right, Harvey?
Well, this was 50 years of buildup.
Man, oh, man.
Well, she's back. I'll tell you that. She's the hottest name in Hollywood all of a sudden. Everybody is. I mean, that's the takeaway. You know, a year from now, you'll remember Jodie Foster at the Golden Globes long after you've forgotten what movies won.
Oh, wasn't that great, though, at the end with Amy Poehler? Did you hear what she said?
Yes. Yeah, we're all going home with Jodie Foster. overall, in our our last minute here with Harvey Levin from TMZ.com. What did you think of the show? I thought Amy and Tina were phenomenal.
I thought they were great. I loved Will Ferrell and Kristen Wiig.
I did too. Yeah, that was
really funny. So funny. She is amazing, Kristen Wiig.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. And it makes me sad that the Golden Globes are gone, because now we have the Oscars to look forward to, and they're going to be terrible. So,
By the way, I love Ben Affleck. I just think he's awesome. But I love that he forgot Clooney, and then Jennifer Garner had to come up.
That is funny.
That was hilarious.
That is funny. Although, this is just me saying what he sounds like. I'm not saying that this is true, but Ben Affleck sounded like he was on coke, because he was trying to get through his acceptance speech so fast.
Yeah.
Oh, no, but that's the way he always sounds.
Does he sound that way?
No, he's always that way. He was great. I mean, he's incredible. I mean, just the fact that he was, like, the hottest thing in Hollywood, and then just tanked and then came back up. It's a great story.
I agree. Hey, I'm sure Jennifer Lopez at some point is sitting there in the audience last night watching Ben Affleck, her former boyfriend, win all these awards, and she's sitting there with a 25-year-old dancer, and she's thinking, what am I doing with my life? What's happening here?
Isn't that funny? Isn't that funny?
It is. All right, listen, Harvey, we know you got to go get to your meeting. TMZ.com, the entertainment website of record. Check your local listings for all the fantastic TMZ TV shows. And the next time we have you on, I want you to tell us about the contest that you do, and we're going to make some of your readers famous. That is crazy. We'll talk about that next week, Harvey. Thank you, sir.
Okay, guys. See ya.
Andrew Siciliano recaps the NFL playoff weekend. Now there's only, four teams left, going for the Super Bowl. Plus, Jimmy Kimmel joins us later on as well. First, though, welcome to the Kevin and Bean Show here on a Monday, the day after the 70th annual Golden Globe ceremony. Kevin, overall, you like the program?
No, it was kind of boring, I thought. And one of the reasons is because they didn't let Tina Fey and Amy Poehler do enough.
Because they were great every time they were on stage.
I wanted to see them do more. I thought they were great hosts.
Yeah, this is one of those shows where they just let the presenters come out and introduce the categories or whatever, and the hosts don't have that much traffic directing.
Right. But I wish they did, because every time they came out, the show seemed to get interesting for me. For example, Tina Fey was talking at the beginning of the show about different kinds of TV shows and the different kinds of movies that they were honoring.
Tonight, we honor the television shows that have entertained us all year, as well as the films that have only been in theaters for 2 days.
See, because there's a lot of these movies
that just came out this week.
And I thought the funniest moment of the night was Tina Fey and Amy Poehler talking about director Kathryn Bigelow. This was, to me, the funniest joke, and it took a long time for the people to stop either ooing and awing or laughing.
Or going, oh my God,
or whatever it was they said. They were talking about the Zero Dark Thirty.
It was a great year for film. Women in film, Kathryn Bigelow nominated tonight. I haven't really been following the controversy over Zero Dark Thirty, but when it comes to torture, I trust the lady who spent 3 years married to James Cameron.
Come on.
Daring. Very daring.
No, that was a strong line. And it's so funny. You know, I was not at all a fan of Ricky Gervais hosting this program. I did not think that he did a very good job. And I think that some of the material that the girls did last night was just as biting, but they managed to do it with a smile. They managed to do it in a way that sounds like everybody's having fun rather than I'm just being a dick to you.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
That was a brutal joke, but
that
funny.
That was a tough joke.
But funny as hell.
I was hoping James Cameron was in the audience, but I did
Me
not
too.
See him.
I kept looking for the camera to search him out.
I think if he was there, they would have found him, don't you?
Yeah, probably. Paul Rudd came out with Salma Hayek. And wow, was that a disaster, because the teleprompter stopped working when I guess they did one thing and then the camera came back to them on stage and they had no idea.
They've been to rehearsal. They knew why they were there. They knew what category they were supposed to do next. How tough is it to ad lib, and these are the five nominees in this category, instead of just standing there and staring at the camera?
I think probably they just knew that the teleprompter would be there, so they didn't have to pay attention.
Yeah, but they didn't even seem to know what award they were going to be.
They didn't seem to know that they were at the Golden Globes all of a sudden. It was really super confusing. Here's how it sounded on the air. And they're just staring with blank faces, like, what do we do now?
Hello.
Still nothing. Looking around.
How's everybody doing? Good? All right, great.
Now, at this point, Salma Hayek is starting to remember, like Bean said, shouldn't you be able to remember the category?
Right.
And so you can hear her sort of mumbling, I think we're supposed to be doing something about a TV series drama. And then they just interrupt them with the clips.
Okay. Something about the best...
And they just cut him off. That's embarrassing, isn't it?
Yes. Yes, it is.
What about Tony Mendez? This cracked me up. Now, this is the real guy from the CIA.
That was sad.
That Ben Affleck plays in Argo.
Yes. And he comes out, and John Goodman introduces him. And I don't know. He looks like he's standing just as close to the microphone as everybody else. But it sounds like he's in completely a different room. I thought, this guy's from the CIA. How smart can he be? Because you can't hear a word he's saying.
Tony Mendez.
The year was 1979. The protesters in Iran stormed the U.S. Embassy.
What?
And took hostages. Six Americans.
What?
Six Americans managed to take refuge in the Canadian Embassy.
Now, here's my question about that. Why didn't John Goodman do a brother a favor and just put his hand on his back and just gently just guide him closer to the microphone?
Or put his hand on the mic and move it over toward him.
Why didn't they make the telephone letters?
I think
the mic
comes out of the floor, though, in its spot. You know what I mean? I don't think can move the mic. But maybe he didn't know. Maybe John Goodman didn't know that he couldn't be heard either. Maybe he had no idea.
We needed a plan to bring them home. Brought to the big screen and nominated for 5 gold.
We can't hear you!
This is Argo.
What?
So he's able to work out going through Iranian security at the airport to get hostages out. No spoiler alert intended. Yet he can't work a microphone. What's up with that?
But the funniest moment of all, not just a joke. I thought the joke about Catherine Bigelow being married to James Cameron was the funniest joke. But this is funny because we've watched a million award shows, and almost every time the people who come out and try to do comedy just bomb.
Yes.
It's horrible. It's a terrible thing to try and do. And they try and be funny back and forth. It just doesn't work. Will Ferrell and Kristen Wiig came out, and they made a joke about how they were supposed to watch all 5 movies that they were talking about so that they would have some understanding of what the movies were about. They both said they did that, and then they went into this bit about not having any idea about what these movies were, and I thought it killed. I thought
they were hilarious.
Really funny.
Oh, my gosh.
And wow. These performances.
Oh, my gosh.
Emily Blunt. Emily Blunt.
Salmon fishing
in the Yemen. When the salmon are coming out.
And when the bad guy comes, and you're in Yemen.
And Judi Dench. Where did she come from? Unknown.
Amazing.
She used to be a police officer, and her first movie,
Best Exotic
Marigold Hotel,
she comes into town, and she looks at the town people, and she says, you get out of here.
Jennifer Lawrence.
J-Lo.
Silver Linings.
Playbook.
And the silver. I thought it was an animated film.
I know, the silver that she's collected, and they try to take it, and she comes in.
No, that's my cookbook.
Yes.
And
she comes in, and she says, you get out of here.
She means it.
That was very funny.
It was really funny, and it went on for a long time.
Much longer than you would expect, that's for sure.
And most of the time when that happens, everybody fails. But that was great, I thought. Will Ferrell's the best.
He's the best.
So is Kristen Wiig.
Yeah, they're awesome. Not everything was super successful. I thought Sacha Baron Cohen was really disappointing.
I did too.
It seemed, again, more mean than funny. I loved Look How Drunk Glenn Close Is. I love that.
That was all right, yeah. It was funny.
Which I thought was funny. There were a lot of, you put these stars together and you let them drink for hours, you're going to have an entertaining show.
Jodie Foster alone, you're going to have an entertaining show.
You just ask those Golden Globies, because you crazy kids, you've been around here forever. You know, Phil, you're a nut. Aida, Scott, thank you for honoring me tonight. And it is the most fun party of the year. And tonight, I feel like the prom queen. All of these people sitting here at these table.
Now, here's again, she's being honored for her lifetime of work in the movies. Now she says all these people here sitting at this table. And then she goes into how they're all kind of parent figures.
They're my family of sorts, you know, fathers mostly, executives, producers, the directors, my fellow actors out there. We've giggled through love scenes. We punched and cried and spit and vomited and blown snot all over one another. And those are just the co-stars I liked. But, you know, more than anyone else, I share my most special memories with the members of the crew, blood-shaking friendships, brothers and sisters. We made movies together, and you can't get more intimate than that. So while I'm here being all confessional and...
Okay, so that's another full minute. We played you a minute earlier.
And she kept smacking her hand every time. She would smack her hand on the dais.
How do you even notice that?
I
was trying to figure
nuts.
Out what on earth she's talking about.
She's insane.
I guess I just have a sudden urge to say something that I've never really been able to air in public. So declaration. That I'm a little nervous about, but maybe not quite as nervous as my publicist right now, huh, Jennifer?
So, Bean, that's
yes.
about her being gay, allegedly gay
well,
or gay,
she's setting
right?
us up, and she's trying to be funny about it, I think.
Right.
Is that what it is? Yeah.
Because- yeah. That's what she's trying to make it sound like she's finally going to make the announcement that some people apparently have been waiting for you.
You know, I'm just going to put it out there, right? Loud and proud, right? So, I'm going to need your support on this. I am single. Yes, I am. I am single. No, I'm kidding. But I mean, I'm not really kidding, but I'm kind of kidding. I mean, thank you for the enthusiasm. Can I get a wolf whistle or something?
Okay, that's enough.
Well, then they cut it. It cuts out for a little while because as she starts to ask the audience if somebody will whistle at her.
And by the way, when she says I'm single, somewhere backstage, Bill Clinton is rubbing his hands going, yes. Give me some of that.
There's another, let's see, 4.5 minutes of her speech.
Didn't it look like they were going to cut to, at one point, she does talk about her ex-partner, although she never uses her name, and she's looking at somebody directly.
It looks like in the front row, yeah.
And they never cut to that
person. I was
person,
really surprised by that as well.
Yeah, I thought
maybe
that was very
maybe they didn't have a camera
odd.
There or something, but
maybe so.
Maybe the cameraman was just going, what's happening?
I don't even everyone was so confused.
I don't even understand. So if you can find it online, you need to go see the entire Jodie Foster thing and just try and figure it out. We've got our scientists on the second floor working on it. And we'll get back to you on what you meant by that entire
Monday morning, we got Muse tickets for you on today's Kevin and Bean Show, and you can be qualified to go see the band in Paris, France. It's destination number 2 of the K-Rock World Tour 2013. That'll happen at 9:10 this morning. Keep on listening for that, and you can go to krock.com for all the details. Hey, Ralph Graham, how was your weekend, by the way?
Yeah, it was outstanding, sir. Thank you so much.
Good to see you.
Speaking of the weekend, it's Monday morning. Let's take a look at the top 10 movies at the box office. Zero Dark Thirty was number 1 at the box office, $24 million. Made it number 1. Surprised a lot of people. A lot of people thought Gangster Squad would take the number 1 slot over the weekend in terms of box office, but it was only 3rd this weekend, beaten out by A Haunted House. Yeah.
Wow.
That's the Wayans film about the parody of Paranormal Activity and other horror films like that. That meant $18.8 million, made it number 2.
Some movies are just review-proof, right?
No, sure, yeah.
Because clearly that is terrible, yet lots of people went to see it.
Yeah. Gangster Squad was 3rd, as I mentioned, with $16.7 million. Then Django Unchained, Les Mis, that rounded out the top 5. The Hobbit, Lincoln, Parental Guidance, Texas Chainsaw 3D, and Silver Linings Playbook came in at number 10. Speaking of Silver Linings Playbook, Jennifer Lawrence, or as Will Ferrell called her last night, J-La. She won the Golden Globe for her performance in Silver Linings Playbook, and she has split up with her boyfriend from X-Men First Class, Nicholas Hoult. So she was there on her own last night, as she was to the Critics' Choice Awards on Thursday night. So looks like she's single.
I think Bill Clinton had her also, Ralph.
I'm sure he did. Well, we're talking about the Golden Globes here. The rest of your award winners for Best TV Drama, Homeland, picked up the Golden Globe. Claire Danes and Damian Lewis also won for their jobs as actor and actress. Best Comedy was given to Girls from HBO. Best Actress in a Comedy was Lena Dunham, who, of course, is from Girls. Best Actor in a Comedy, Don Cheadle for House of Lies. When it came to the movies, Argo did very well. Won Best Movie Drama and also won Best Director for Ben Affleck, proving once again that the Hollywood Foreign Press loves to give awards to movie stars, even when they're not being movie stars. Django Unchained got Best Screenplay. Christoph Waltz won for Best Supporting Actor for Django Unchained. Anne Hathaway won for Best Supporting Actress in a
comedy or musical for Les Mis. Hugh Jackman picked that up, the best actor for a comedy musical for Les Mis also. Daniel Day-Lewis won for best drama actor for Lincoln, and Jessica Chastain won for her role in Zero Dark Thirty. Best movie, musical, or comedy went to Les Mis, as expected. It was interesting. You know, everyone talked about Ben Affleck being left out of the equation when it came to Oscars for Best Director for Argo. But when you looked last night at the other films, when you looked at Life of Pi, the undertaking that was to put on the screen, and you looked at Lincoln, the undertaking that was to put on the screen, you're like, oh, maybe they had an idea. Maybe felt bad for those guys getting passed over. Not to say that Argo wasn't a good film, but when you think about just the sheer logistics of putting together like a Life of Pi.
Yeah.
It makes your head swing.
Yeah, and one way I like to look at it is Ang Lee could probably have done a great job directing Argo. How many other people could have directed Life of Pi, though?
Yeah, right.
That takes somebody extraordinary.
And if you look at the sheer scope and size of Lincoln, and then on top of it, the amazing performances that Spielberg gets out of his actors, quite an accomplishment.
Did you know until last night that Daniel Day-Lewis had played E.T.? That was news to me.
That was news to me, too.
Yeah.
He was young. He was young. He looked very different.
I think that was a joke.
Congratulations to Skyfall for picking up their sole Golden Globe for Best Song by Adele, by the way. So congratulations. And while we're talking about Spielberg, Jurassic Park 4 has been greenlit. It's going to happen.
Woo!
Circle your calendars, boys and girls. June 13th, 2014, Universal Pictures has announced that's the date Jurassic 4 will be opening. I love how the tail wags the dog now in Hollywood. They don't have a director yet or a screenplay for the film. But Spielberg will be returning as producer, and they do have a release date. So no pressure there to whoever gets hired to be the director, but we know when it's coming out. You just have to get it ready by then.
This is a movie that clearly needs to be made, though.
It's going to be in 3D. Dinosaurs in 3D.
Thank God.
You love it. Today's celebrity birthdays on Monday, January the 14th. Here are your people celebrating birthdays. Guitarist Zakk Wylde, Ozzy Osbourne, Black Label Society. He's been working forever. 46 years old today. LL Cool J, he's 45 years old. Good to see him rapping again for the Super Bowl.
Yeah.
On CBS. Jason Bateman, 44 years old. Dave Grohl of Foo Fighters, formerly, of course, of Nirvana, is 44 as well. Caleb Followill of Kings of Leon is 31. Zach Gifford, actor from Friday Night Lights and The Mob Doctor. He's 31 years old. Steven Soderbergh. Wow, we're talking about talented directors. 50 years old. Carl Weathers. Apollo Creed from the Rocky movies, also from Predator and Arrested Development. He's 65. And legendary screen actress Faye Dunaway is 72 years old today. If you've never seen Mommy Dearest, do yourself a favor. Rent it. No more wire hangers ever! Most hilarious, unintentionally hilarious performance ever put on film. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz.
Got to get yourself a little hat like that guy in the Lumineers. The chicks love that guy.
Is that right?
Yeah, that's what I'm telling you. All right, Monday morning here on the Kevin Bean Show. Kevin, this is your area of expertise. You're the one who loves El Soccer. Tell me about the 2014 World Cup, which sounds like it's years away, but 2014 will be here before you know it, and people are already gearing up for it, right?
I have been saving money for almost 3 years now.
Really?
Yes, because I will be going to Brazil for the World Cup.
Why is it so expensive that you have to save money for that long? It's just Brazil.
It's just you got the plane tickets. You need security in certain cities. Ask me who I'm going with. Ask me who I'm going with.
Who are you going with?
Brad
to the World
Williams.
Cup?
Really?
No.
Are
is
you
he your security or is he no, chum?
No, he's chum. He's coming along because I just need to be able to not outrun everyone, but I need to be able to outrun just one person.
Ah, there you go. That makes a lot of sense.
So I'm going to the World Cup in Brazil because Brazil knows how to party.
Yes
they do. And you've talked about wanting to go down for Carnival as long as I've known you, so this is kind of your excuse to finally pull the trigger on this trip, right?
Yes, exactly. So I'm going down, and I'm very excited about it.
Now, will the United States be participating in the 2014 World Cup?
Well, we certainly hope so, Bean.
But we don't know yet. No, we still don't know.
No, there's more qualifying that starts, I think, in February or something like that, but they have not secured a spot yet, and wouldn't that be funny?
That would be hilarious. Because who would you root for, right? All right. Well, the reason we bring all this up, again, we're talking about 2014, is the World Cup is actually in the news right now. Brazil is getting ready for its close-up, and you wouldn't necessarily expect this to happen, but Brazilian prostitutes
are apparently by the hundreds, Kevin, enrolling in English courses. Actually, not just English. They're learning other languages, Spanish, French, Italian, because they know that visitors from all over the world, particularly those soccer-crazy European countries, are going to be visiting Brazil, and they feel like they'll be able to do a little better job, make a little more money if they at least have some working knowledge of those languages.
See, it's a good thing. That's good old personal – you know what I'm saying.
No, I'd like to hear you finish that thought.
How are they going to prepare for you? Well, let's find out what's going on down there with international English coach Louis Parnell, who joins us on the Kevin and Bean Show now. Mr. Parnell, welcome, sir.
Hey, how you doing? Call me Lou.
Lou.
Hey, how's it going, fellas? How you doing?
It's going well. Thank you.
Do we have the right guy? You're the international English coach?
That's right. I teach English to hookers all over the world.
Anything you can do for my friend Kevin, who just tried to speak English in the introduction to you, sir?
No. I think that's beyond my expertise.
Oh, come on.
No, I go around internationally and I teach sex workers how to use certain English phrases that will better enable them to serve their customers.
Okay, now according to the article, please tell me if this is correct. This is important for the dignity of the work. The women need to be able to negotiate a fair price. They need to be able to defend themselves. So all the reasons you would want language come into play if you're even working in the sex trade.
Yeah, more importantly, the money part. They gotta negotiate a good deal.
Sure.
And they gotta let the guy know that you know, they understand what he's saying and they like him. And, you know, pretend to like him, whatever it takes. You know, whatever that relationship ends up being like. So it's important for them to be able to communicate, obviously, with the customer.
Okay. Tell us a little bit more about your work. Like, how do you go about doing it?
Well, what we have to do is we have to narrow down what phrases we use to make them the most efficient for the ladies who are using them. In other words, you want to make sure the phrases you're teaching them will enable them to make as much money as possible.
That makes sense. Okay.
So what we do is we focus in on a certain high-end client. The kind of guy who's going to be spending a lot of money with the hookers. This is the target audience for these ladies. So we teach them words and phrases that this kind of gentleman would say in order to allow them to make their maximum profit.
All right, what kind of gentleman is that?
It's a guy, I'll say he saved money for like 3 years trying to come up with enough money to go to the World Cup. So let's say he travels with a midget. He's going to be going there with a midget, and so, you know, maybe he's not the brightest guy in the world. He's not the sharpest knife in the drawer, but he's loaded with cash. He just carries wadded up $100 bills in his pocket like an 8-year-old. He doesn't have a wallet. He'll probably lose his passport when he gets there, so he's going to be banging a lot of hookers because he's loaded with cash and not so much on brains.
Okay. All right.
I've been teaching the girls phrases like this. It's like a fish when you take it out of the lake and it flops around. It's like a fish out of water is what it is.
Useful?
See, the girls learn phrases like that.
That's a pretty specific phrase,
don't
you think?
They're going to be able to target in and make some money off this sucker who's carrying around all this cash in his pockets, probably just wearing shorts and a striped shirt.
Kind of make him feel at home, like he's with his own people.
Right, so the more he relates to them, the more money he's going to spend with the girls. It's a win-win.
Okay.
I teach girls phrases like this. Not going to want to spend a lot of time in bed with your company here a couple years now. See, now, if she understands that, then she knows what she's in for.
Is it tough, if you don't mind me asking, Mr. Parnell, is it tough to teach the girls not only the English language, but also the drunk accent?
Well, no, because with the Portuguese accent, it already makes things sound a little off. So if they just repeat these things to the client, they'll feel right at home.
Okay.
For instance, I'm teaching them how to say, "We got to look at this Blue Man Group. They paint their faces red."
This seems extremely specific to one person.
Well, look, the girl's got to make money, so you got to target the people with the money.
Sure.
Did you know you're going to be in the office, not the outside office, not the main one at first? Things like that, girls have to learn.
A lot of pressure on you, Kevin, now when you go down there to support all these girls.
Just want to say that not all sizes, all do not. There's not all things like that.
Okay, great.
Mono las tasa. Girls need to learn that. What does it do?
Greatest hits.
And I got a new one I got to teach him. It's this good old personal, you know what I'm saying.
I was afraid you were taking notes on that one. All right, well, good luck to you.
Good luck to you.
So, did we make any phone calls that changed anyone's life this morning, Kevin?
No.
All right, moving on.
No, why would you ask that?
The whole part about how you have the name you're going to read, congratulate, the thing with this.
He's frantically looking for
looking for paper. We had this discussion like 30 seconds before the song ended.
I know, and I was kidding when I said, no, we don't have any, because I knew I had the paper, but then I looked down and couldn't find the paper. Okay, now I have it. Nicole Chow from Huntington Beach. Nicole Chow from Huntington Beach.
Where's she going?
She's going to Australia.
So she is the grand prize winner of Destination Number One of the K-Rock World Tour 2013. She sees Linkin Park in Sydney. You see how easy that is? You see how easy it is to win that thing? We're doing Destination Number Two right now. It's Muse in Paris at 9:10 this morning. We'll give you Muse's latest album, The Second Law, and you get on the standby boarding list, and we could be calling you to give you a grand prize and then forgetting all about it.
Bean, tell us about the dude that you saw out in front of that tax preparation place and the joy he was having.
All right. This struck me as sad and bizarre. And look, I'm not making fun of anybody who takes one of these jobs where you get dressed up in a costume to make a living, because I know that jobs are tight out there. And I know that it's good, honest work. And if you got to feed your family, I don't begrudge you from doing the job. But I also can't imagine how soul crushing a job like that might be. About a week into the new year, so last week, about 7 days ago, I saw a guy dressed up as the Statue of Liberty in front of one of these tax preparedness places, right? Mm-hmm. These places where you go to get your taxes done. I don't even remember which one it's called. But he's dressed as the Statue of Liberty. He's got his face painted, and he's got the outfit on, you know, with the long robe, and he's got the thing on his head and the whole deal, and the torch in one arm and the sign in the other arm. And he's out there waving that sign around and jumping up and down like a damn fool on a street corner trying to get people to come in and do the taxes. Now, most of us couldn't do our taxes right now if we wanted to, because we don't even have our W-2s. We don't have to get those till the end of the month, right? So it's a pretty small number of people who can do their taxes. How many people are going to be doing their taxes in January? And this guy's out there every single day, day after day, dressed up as the freaking Statue of Liberty. Can you imagine how much soul searching you have to be doing if you're the guy in that outfit again today? Like, what am I doing with my life?
It does seem like it would just crush your life. It just seems
You're fresh air. You're out there in the fresh air. You're dancing around, getting exercise.
First two hours, and then
you have a lot worse jobs.
The longest day ever.
Just because you must be bored out of your mind. That would be the problem with me.
You're honking and you're waving and stuff. People are going by. At least there's a view. Can you imagine sitting in one of those rooms where you're screwing caps onto something or on a conveyor belt or something?
Yeah, I'm not saying there aren't worse jobs, but you're standing up on your feet all day and you're just at an intersection breathing exhaust hour after hour, day after day. Look, you take whatever job you can if you need one, but I just think being a mascot or having to wear a costume like that must be pretty near the bottom of the list.
I don't know. Women love a man in uniform.
That uniform?
So he's probably getting all kinds of tail dressed as the Statue of Liberty.
Down the street from the Statue of Liberty tax prepared guy is my IHOP that I go to a couple of times a week. When that IHOP opened, they had a pancake outfit that every employee, the waitresses, the managers, the busboys, everybody had to do a day in the costume. Same costume, of course. Who knows how often that thing gets washed. But every single day, somebody has to go out there and walk up and down the street in front of the IHOP for their grand opening couple of months or whatever it was. And I was thinking, that's your job today, is to be a pancake.
Well, that's awesome. Who doesn't love pancakes?
Who wants to dress
you
in a pancake
outfit? You're out there, you are being loved more than you've ever been loved in your life.
But you're not actually a pancake.
You are, though. When you put on that costume, you become the pancake.
We want to take calls from you if you had to wear a costume, some kind of mascot costume. It seems like it would be a bad gig. Ralph, you told us a story in the office.
Yeah, that's why I don't understand you guys, because I was looking forward to my opportunity to be a mascot. I was working back when I was a teenager at Toys R Us. I did a couple years at Toys R Us, and it can be a hectic job, especially during the holiday season, as you can imagine. This was before people bought a lot of their toys online and stuff, so this was the place to go. And we were doing a promotion with the good people at Mattel when the Masters of the Universe toy line was huge. This is He-Man and Skeletor and all those cats were on that popular cartoon show, and the toys were very hot. And so that Mattel was doing a promotion, and so they said they're going to come through here, and they've got mascot-style costumes of He-Man and Skeletor and She-Ra and all the characters, and we're looking for volunteers to put on the costumes and meet the kids and take pictures with them and stuff. And I said, this sounds awesome. I would absolutely love to do that.
Ralph, did you think that because it sort of seemed like acting to you a little bit? Is that part of it?
Well, sure. I was an aspiring actor, so I was not above making a spectacle of myself and goofing around. But also, I thought, I remember when I was a little kid, I loved meeting guys dressed up as like superheroes and stuff and everything. And I thought it would be fun to pose with pictures with the kids and stuff. It just seemed like a better time to me to spend the day at work doing that than hanging bicycles over in the big ticket department or putting strollers together in the back room or something, whatever my jobs were.
Was it as good as you thought?
Well, here's the thing. I was very excited. And so they showed up with the gear and stuff, said, here we go. You know, congratulations, you're He-Man. I said, I cannot wait. And I started to put on the costume. And they said, "Yeah, this is our fourth Toys R Us today." And I was like, "Wow, this is a big promotion you guys are doing." And then I realized what they meant was that was the same He-Man costume that had been passed around from employee to employee for four other Toys R Us's before they got to ours. So, and I realized that as I put on the cold, wet, sweat-soaked rubber latex muscle suit that I was trying desperately I couldn't even get it on because it was so wet and cold, slimy up against my skin as I tried to put it on my body, and I had this giant He-Man head I had to put on that had just been soaked through with the sweat of unknown people.
That's disgusting.
So it was the same costume that had been worn all day long by other people that I now had to put on in its used state in order to work up some enthusiasm for jumping around and slaying Skeletor and meeting with the kids.
And how'd that go?
It was horrifying.
Really?
As I was putting it on, I was like, oh my God, I don't know who and what I'm sharing these bodily fluids with.
Ew.
Who has had this before me?
You're just hoping it was Olivia Wilde or somebody, right?
That's all you could pray. I knew it was Olivia Wilde. I knew.
Oh my God.
And it was some sweaty, swarthy man down in North Philadelphia who had
you
put
know,
it on.
You know, it's not going to be this way, but you would hope that they would show up and open a brand new package.
You would think? Yeah. How about a clean costume for He-Man? Master of the Universe, for God's sakes. Can't get a clean set of muscles?
We are taking your calls if you've ever had a job that required you wearing a mascot costume. Let's take Elliot real quick on line one before the break. 1-800-520-1067. That's our toll-free number. We want to hear your story. Elliot, what did you get to dress up as?
When I was a teenager, I dressed up as the Subway Sandwich Man.
All right.
The opening of a Subway.
Mm-hmm. Was that the sub with the cape?
Yeah.
Oh, I love that guy.
And the lettuce and tomatoes sticking out the
side. You didn't love that guy.
I love Subway Sandwich Man.
This was way before Jared, right?
Yeah.
So what do you do? Were you standing out in front of a store trying to get people to come in or what?
Yeah, it was at an opening of a town center, and I was passing out coupons. And kids were throwing stuff at me and chasing me around. It was like 95 degrees. It was horrible.
Can you see Elliot running, dressed up as a Subway sub in a cape?
Giant foot-long running down the, running down the mall.
Running some kids.
The mall sidewalk.
How long were you able to keep that job, Elliot? How long did you do it?
It was only for about 3 days.
That's enough.
Yeah.
And
yeah,
Ralph, how about plenty. You with the He-Man? Was that a one-day deal?
That was a one-off. Yeah, that was just a one-day. That was plenty.
All right, Elliot, thank you very much for the call. 1-800-520-1067. Your calls on being a mascot. We'll take them right after this on the Kevin and Bean Show on Kicks. We're talking about your mascot stories at 1-800-520-1067. Here's one from the Kevin and Bean Facebook page. Dawn writes in, I had to dress up as the Noid back in the day when I worked for Domino's Pizza. The smelly costume was bad enough, but what surprised me was the amount of women who would get all touchy-feeling and flirting with me, even though my interactions with people generally consisted of head pats and waving, nothing more. One kid's mom practically dry-humped me, giggling, ooh, you're naughty, aren't you? Until I finally hissed at her through the vented mouth of the costume, no, I'm a girl.
Oh, come on. Don't make such a rash decision so quickly. Maybe it would have worked out.
Speaking of girls, let's go to Veronica. She is on line 5 to get us going here with her mascot story. Hi, Veronica. Thanks for calling. Thanks for holding on. What's happening?
I'm not saying I'm just driving to traffic, but my mascot story, I dressed up as Mario for a video game show that I had to work at.
Yeah,
it was pretty bad because it was like kind of like a re-grand opening. It was during the fan that was supposed to be inside the costume was actually broken, and I had told them it's really hot in here, get me out, I can't, you know, it's hyperventilating in there, and there was like a bunch of kids everywhere. I mean, it's a video game store, kids. I had to pass out like flyers, take pictures with them. You know, I kept getting kicked. Kids were wondering where I was inside. They kept wanting me to talk. Obviously, when you're a mascot, sometimes you can't talk. so I had to be doing at least a Mario voice the whole time. I was like, I'm a Mario. Like, I had to be doing random voices all the time. And I hated it because, like, kids would be grabbing you and kicking you. And it's like, they're like, jump, jump. And they're like, kick me, or they'd be throwing me something so I could jump. And it's like, you can't jump in a costume.
See, that's why I wouldn't make it in that costume, because if they started kicking me, I think I would kick them back.
Yeah.
I was trying to, but I have the motor tools, an inflatable costume, and they have the motors by the feet. So I was kind of like in a little platform. Yeah, it was horrible.
Oh my God.
I couldn't even jump. I had to have like a walker, that they called, so I could be walking. It's like, I'm like 102 pounds in like this huge costume. It was not fun. And it was for a week straight.
Very sad. Very sad, Veronica. Thank you so much for the call. Let's go to Chase. Chase is on line 6, joining us on the Kevin Amin Show. Hey, Chase, what's happening?
Hey, guys, how you doing?
Good.
Good.
Yeah, I was the Easter Bunny.
The Easter Bunny?
When I was like 16, I got a part-time job working in the mall as the Easter Bunny. And I'm about 6'2", maybe like 250. And all of the girls that I was working with that were also the Easter Bunny were maybe, 100 pounds, 5'2".
Right.
So every 2 hours we had to switch off to change the costume because it was an extremely hot costume. And my first and last instance being the Easter Bunny on that day was, they go in, we come out and change, and, the kids that were standing in line seeing this tiny little Easter Bunny go in and seeing this giant Easter Bunny come out.
Yeah, so they're going steroids. I got to give me some of those.
As I was walking by the line, you could just see the terror in the kids' eyes as they were looking up at me. So the first kid that sat in my lap, who was already not happy to be there, started screaming and yelling at his mom that he didn't want to sit on my lap. And as soon as he sat on my lap, he grabbed a hold of my unmentionables.
Nice.
And let me tell you something, a four-year-old that's terrified has vice grip hands.
How about that? Learned a little something.
And then a few other kids screamed after that. And then finally what ended it for me was I had another kid pee on my lap.
There it is.
He was so terrified he peed on my lap, and we had like a safe word, so to speak, where you could signal to somebody if there was an issue, and they pulled the kid off my lap. I had to go change, and the pants had to be thrown away.
Who knew? They didn't throw them away. They took them to another location and gave them to somebody else to put on.
Well, it wasn't me. That's all I care about.
Thank you, Chase. I would imagine the Easter Bunny could be terrifying to little kids, right? I would think. Yeah. Giant rabbit coming at you.
Yeah.
Jessica from Lake Forest writes in, I had to wear a full water droplet costume named Drip for water safety week at the pool I worked at.
Yeah.
This was in Las Vegas in the dead of summer. It was 115 degrees and horrible. You don't want to put on a full mascot outfit at 115. Yeah. All right. How about who do you want here? You want to go to? Let's go to Diego. He's on line 8. We were talking about the person I saw at IHOP dressed up as a pancake. I think, Diego, were you the pancake? Was that you?
Yes, I was. I dressed up as Susie Strawberry.
Susie Strawberry.
Tell me about being a pancake. Was it the same way at your IHOP as the one that I go to where every person had to do it like one day a month?
I was fortunate enough to do it by myself, but that costume was still very dirty. It seems like they hadn't washed it since they had first gotten it.
Right.
So I used to do this during the summer, and it was hot. I mean, we were pushing maybe 98 to 100 degrees inside that costume.
I wonder what the turnover is on jobs like that. If you hire somebody to be a mascot, I wonder how long somebody lasts at that.
Well, the funny thing is, I actually volunteered.
What a dumbass. Why?
It seemed like a fun idea. Plus, I needed the extra cash. So I said, screw it, I'll do it.
Seems to me like you take a lot of abuse.
Yes, I did, actually. There was a junior high down the street, and all these kids would come out, during my shift, and I would have a group of kids pretty much trying to beat me up, trying to push me into the street so a car can run over me.
It's not bad enough. It's not bad enough he's dressed as a pancake. Now he's getting shoved into traffic by junior hires.
And, I mean, I fought back. I'm not going to lie. I fought back. I did some pushing myself. So
all right.
I let them have it.
I'd love to have driven by to see Diego fighting back as Susie Strawberry Pancake. That's awesome. All right, dude. Have a great day. Thanks for the call. Ralph's got the Showbiz Beat coming up next here on K-Rock.
And now it's time for A Moment with Kevin.
See, it's a good thing. That's good old personal you know what I'm saying.
That was A Moment with Kevin.
We really don't. We really don't know what you're saying.
I don't either.
Yeah, so. I don't know how many shows we've done in 2013, but Kevin is up to 3 moments with already.
It's not bad.
Trying to do my part, guys.
It's not a bad record.
Very impressive, man. Tim, you're got the hot bat right now. That's for sure. Andrew Siciliano recaps the NFL weekend coming up next. First, Ralph is here at 7:54. Time for the Showbiz Beat.
Hockey comes back this weekend.
Yes!
While we're talking about sports.
Yes. Can't wait.
Raising the banner at Staples Center. Saturday at noon.
Flyers-Penguins Saturday on NBC. It's the game of the week. Check it out, people. All right. While we're talking sports, how would you like to go see a little MMA? A little mixed martial arts.
Yay!
It is.
Kids love it.
Bellator MMA. It's going to be happening live on Spike TV. Can't say enough good things about the people at Spike TV, by the way.
Why?
Tomorrow night.
What's the tie-in?
Tomorrow night, 10 p.m. Yeah.
I don't understand why you like Spike TV so
because
much. That doesn't make
awesome,
any sense to me.
And on Tuesdays, they're particularly awesome at 10 p.m. They're awesome.
Oh, the Joe Schmo Show.
Joe Schmo Show. Spike is bringing you Bellator MMA at the Bren Events Center in Irvine, California.
Will Glenda be there?
Glenda's not going to be able to attend. That's why we're giving these tickets away. We've got her tickets.
She's a big MMA fan.
Big MMA fan. It is happening this Thursday, January the 17th. For more information, you go to Bellator, BELLATOR.com. But some great fights. You got the lightweight and featherweight world championship fights going on Thursday night. Hahn versus Chandler, Kerbin versus Pitbull. Pitbull's now in the MMA, too.
Wow.
Does he drink Bud Light while he's in the corner?
I knew he liked to party. I didn't know he also liked to fight.
Yeah. You can purchase your tickets at Bellator.com. Enter the promo code MMAKROQ to get $10.67 off of any ticket. And if you do that, you'll receive a free K-Rock Bellator t-shirt. Or you can just call right now, 1-800-520-1067. January 17th is the date. So how about the 17th caller at that number? We'll get a 4-pack of tickets to see Bellator MMA live at the Bren Events Center in Irvine. And if you miss it, if you don't win, you can watch it live on Spike TV this week, or you can get down there yourself and attend. So check out the Bellator MMA fights coming up this Thursday night on Spike TV. It is Monday. That means we take a look at the top 10 movies at the box office. Big surprise this weekend, Zero Dark Thirty, which was getting a lot of attention, but no one guessed it would become the number one movie this weekend, made $24 million.
It seemed like it had a decent shot to me. I mean, considering what a big story it was, it's a true story.
And this was the first weekend it was absolutely everywhere.
It had been opening wide. I mean, it seems like it makes sense.
Yeah, but in comparison, I mean, Gangster Squad has a much bigger cast. You've got Ryan Gosling in it and Josh Brolin and Emma Stone, and it's a more accessible film. If you're not, even if you're a little tired of the world of terrorism and the gruesome events that we live with international politics on a daily basis, so you might want to go a little escapism, and people thought maybe Gangster Squad would attract the crowd. However, it was only third at the box office this weekend. A Haunted House edged it out with $18.8 million. That was number two. Then Gangster Squad with $16.7 million. Django Unchained and Les Mis were 4 and 5. Then The Hobbit, Lincoln, Parental Guidance, Texas Chainsaw 3D, and Silver Linings Playbook rounded out the top 10 at the box office this weekend. Jennifer Lawrence from Silver Linings Playbook won a Golden Globe last night. Her castmate, Bradley Cooper, was also nominated. You know, Robert De Niro is also in that film. And De Niro strikes me as one of these guys who just gets it. I mean, the bigger the star, it seems, the less douchebaggery goes on. Especially a guy like De Niro who's been around forever. De Niro took his co-star from Silver Linings Playbook, Bradley Cooper, to dinner to celebrate their Oscar nominations. And so they're in a Hollywood restaurant last Thursday to celebrate, and they show up, and they didn't have a reservation. It was a very high-end joint. And according to the New York Post, they showed up, and they were told by the hostess they would have to wait for a table. They waited for over an hour.
Wow.
For a table. The hostess kept apologizing profusely to this two stars. As you can imagine, she must have been sweating bullets making them wait for an hour.
Yeah.
And witnesses said they overheard Robert De Niro talking to the hostess saying, you know what? The delay's our fault. We should have made a reservation. This is not on you. Don't worry about it. Whenever you get a table free, that's when we'll sit down. Please don't feel pressured. Most people in Hollywood, most of the douchebags would have pulled immediately the don't you know who I am card.
Sure.
Can I talk to your manager?
Yeah.
I'm Robert freaking De Niro. Have you ever seen a little film
called Godfather 2? Is that ringing a bell? Anything? Fockers? Anything?
Meanwhile,
but you got internet error on your little desk there, hostess. Why don't you punch up IMDb and type in Robert De Niro? It's D-E-N-I-R-O. And then see if you got a table available.
But meanwhile, Khloe Kardashian waits 30 seconds before she starts throwing a tantrum,
absolutely.
I bet.
Absolutely. You know, she's out there just being all Wookiee on the people. Yeah. Bringing out her laser crossbow, just going all nuts. And ladies, you want to get into shape? Well, there's a brand new fitness regimen that you're going to love.
It's the latest thing now?
It's the latest thing. It's the biggest craze out of New York City.
Okay. Chris, bird poop on your face?
Kristen James is the name. She's a fitness guru in New York, and she has worked out a brand new series of workout classes called 50 Shapes of Grey.
Oh, excellent.
All of the fitness positions are based on sex positions from the bestseller 50 Shades of Grey. 50 Shapes of Grey includes 13 different sexercises. See what they did there?
Huh.
No.
Like the bend over better, the seductive squat, and the sexy scissors.
I'd love to get a copy of that.
Kristen claims the workouts will make people lean and strong and even better in the sack. So there you go, ladies. Get all the benefits of your mommy porn, and you can work out there with the rest of your girlfriends and then go get apple teenies afterwards and watch the Carrie Diaries.
Just when you thought they maximized that book about as much as they could.
Girl on The Bachelor, by the way. One of the bachelorettes on The Bachelor this season. Obsessed with the 50 Shades of Grey book. Brought a gray tie with her to the opening cocktail party to meet the bachelor and pulled it out of her dress seductively from between her breasts and said, you know what we're going to do with this? Boop. She was gone. First night out.
Is that right?
Yeah. Really? Yeah.
You know what we're not going to do with that?
She got S-faced and fell down the steps during the cocktail party.
Awesome.
And she was like, talking to other girls, and she was standing behind the girls, like, shaking her ass and doing, like, the Hoochie Mama dance and everything. So I think she worked her way out of the competition.
She might hang herself with that tie. That's about it.
Yeah. There was one girl on the show in the opening cocktail party, my favorite line from any Bachelor season ever, where she said, I think he really likes me. I can't be sure or not. I wish I was more sober. We all did. We all wished that. Today's celebrity birthdays. Caleb Followill of Kings of Leon, 31 years old today. Dave Grohl from Foo Fighters turns 44, as does Jason Bateman. Is it just me, or is that new movie he's got coming out with the big girl from Mike and Molly?
Looks terrible.
Looks hilarious.
It looks hilarious to me.
Couldn't want to see anything less than
it
I want to see.
It looks
that.
Funny as
gosh,
hell.
Let's trying to figure out how he got roped into that.
Let's not go to Bean for any movie choices,
especially when it comes to comedy.
Yeah.
But that looks funny.
It does. Her other movie looks really
and
funny.
And Melissa McCarthy, she's a funny lady.
Bean, you should change your mind. This movie does look good.
There we go.
Looks better.
Terrible.
LL Cool J's 45 years old. Zach Wilde, legendary rock guitarist for Ozzy Osbourne and others, is 46. Steven Soderbergh's 50. Carl Weathers, Apollo Creed from the Rocky movies, turned 65 today. And Faye Dunaway, legendary movie actress, big, big star in the 70s, 72 years old. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the show.
Paul Herrmann from Anaheim, thanks a lot for listening to the Kevin and Bean Show. You just won tickets to the sold-out Muse concert at Staples Center next week. We got your tickets, Kevin and Bean listener, in about 10 minutes or so. And next hour, we'll give you Muse's latest album and qualify you for a chance to see them in Paris. What an NFL weekend. One of the all-time greats, as the divisional playoff weekend often is. Our friend Andrew Siciliano from the NFL Network joins us right now. Total Access airs weekday afternoons at 4. Hi, Andrew. How are you, buddy?
Good morning, guys. It lived up to it, huh?
Yes, it did.
Sure did. I want to start with the Broncos-Ravens game because you've been around football for a long time. How do humans play football when it's 6 degrees out and stay alive into double overtime? How do you even do that?
Well, I'll say this. I cannot pretend to have played football at that level in 6 degrees. I can say when we were kids growing up back east, we would make a point whenever it was snowing, you had to go outside and play because it was more fun that way. Now, granted, we play for 40 minutes and then run home to bomb and get hot chocolate.
Right.
So it's a little bit different. How they do it, I have no idea. What's even more amazing is that some of the linemen act all tough and macho and tell the guy on the other side of the line that, you know, I'm in it to win it, so to speak. They do it without sleeves.
Yeah, bare arms. Bare arms when it's 6 degrees out and you're out there for hours. I know. Well, it was just unbelievable.
Peyton revealed on Sunday, and we didn't know this on Saturday, but Peyton revealed on Sunday to some writers that during the week he stuck his hand, his right hand, I'm assuming with the glove because he wore gloves,
right,
in a bucket of ice water, icy water, during the week to prepare himself for what it was going to be like on Saturday.
Okay, that's just dumb.
Wow. I wonder if that, does it really help?
I don't know. I mean, he had a reasonably good game until he tried to throw back across his body in overtime.
It looked to me, Andrew, it looked to me like he just ran out of steam. I mean, he made a couple of bad throws. That one across his body, that takes extra energy, and it just seems like he didn't have it.
Right. I mean, people will tell you that often at that point it isn't your body that goes, it's your focus. Or the other way around, one of the two goes.
Right.
It's your body, not your focus. But it's hard to keep them both in sync. Yeah. That deep into the game. It was the sixth double overtime game in playoff history.
Well, it was unbelievable.
You're playing your sixth quarter of football. And for all intents and purposes, people thought the game was over. I mean, I'll be honest with you, with 2 minutes remaining, when Denver just picked up a first down, I was going from one friend's house to watch the early game to another friend's house to watch the late game. I got in my car, and I'll be honest, I got on the phone and didn't listen.
That's funny. Oh.
This is embarrassing, actually. So I pulled up to my friend's house just as it was going to overtime, and I said, what the...
Yeah.
I can't imagine the answer to this. And I ran inside, and I kicked down my friend's door, and his girlfriend looked up and said, well, thanks for knocking.
It also seemed like, you're right, I agree with Kevin, that it looked like Peyton ran out of steam, but it also looked like his defense ran out of steam, like they thought the game was over too, so they weren't just doing everything they could to prevent Baltimore from getting that last shot.
Yeah, I mean, you got to keep playing. There's only one thing that's necessary there, and I'm not going to be the high school football coach here, but that is, you don't let anyone behind you. And unfortunately, Raheem Moore, number 26, who happens to be a UCLA Bruin, let someone behind him. His name was Jacoby Jones. And he went up, and it almost looked like he stopped running and decided, I'm going to stop and jump up and try to almost volleyball this thing down. And he took a bad angle, and it didn't work. The game was over.
And you really see a receiver that wide open, especially on that play where you say they know he's going to throw it long.
Right, exactly.
They're ready for it. Don't let the guy behind you. They know all of that. And then he was wide open.
And by the way, that was only the first game of the four.
Yes.
Well, it was very sad to see that storyline. You know, every weekend we lose another storyline, and this time we were sad to see Denver go, because we've all been rooting for Peyton, you know, after being hurt and everything. All right, we're not going to have a lot of time to – we'll mention San Francisco over Green Bay. I think a lot of people were amazed at how well San Francisco's quarterback played. I mean, he really poured it on.
Yeah.
And the Patriots was the only kind of boring game of the weekend, because they just, you know, Houston was never really in it, and maybe a higher scoring game than we expected. But let's spend a minute talking about the greatest fourth quarter comeback in NFL playoff history from the Seattle Seahawks to take the lead after being down the entire game, after being down 20-0 at halftime, 27-7 in the third quarter, coming back, getting the lead. How did they manage to screw it up with 30 seconds left on the clock, Andrew?
Well, I mean, they screwed it up because I'll say this. Give Matt Ryan and give the Falcons the credit, because they were the home seed. They're the number one seed. They still are the number one seed in the NFC. Yet no one has believed them all year.
Yeah.
People have said, all right, you're winning, but we know you're going to lose.
Well, partly because they have the curse. Yeah, they have the curse in the playoffs.
Call it a curse or call it not performing. Whatever it is, the quarterback and the coach have never won a playoff game before yesterday, ever. So people said they were the number one seed. But, I mean, I don't want to say most of America. I would say a lot of people, most of those in the know, figured Seattle would win that game and then go to San Francisco this coming Sunday. And then all of a sudden, Seattle, which has been a second half and a fourth quarter team most of the year, they were down 14-0 last week to the Redskins. They found a way to rally back, and Atlanta self-destructed. Atlanta did everything it could to look like the scared, we know we're going to lose, we know the train is coming, it can't get off the tracks team. And then all of a sudden at the end, with 30 seconds left, Matt Ryan throws two passes, and boom, they're back. And a big reason was because Atlanta almost gave them another chance at the end after the kick.
Yeah,
with their stupid kickoff. But Matt Ryan, when everyone was doubting them more than they've ever been doubted, threw a couple of passes, got them in field goal range,
yep,
and they won that game. I mean, look, if they go to the Super Bowl, it's a great story.
And I want to. I'm sure you'll be talking about this on the NFL Total Access. This is Andrew Siciliano on the phone. Our remaining 30 seconds are here. Is Pete Carroll to blame for trying to ice the kicker, doing it too late, and essentially giving that guy a warm up before he kicked the real one?
Statistically, you would say yes.
Okay.
However, he's a veteran kicker. I don't think he was missing that kick regardless. And you also have to say this. When he did hit that first one, which he missed, it was wide right, it was clearly after the whistle. He knew it wasn't going to count. He was no longer in full focus mode.
Okay, so he was just taking a practice.
It's like a test shot. Now, you could blame Pete Carroll because he gave Matt Bryant a test shot. Go ahead, swing the leg.
Yeah.
It's not like you're testing the wind, you're inside, but see which way the ball's coming off your foot this afternoon. Go ahead, try it out. So if Pete Carroll's guilty of anything, it's giving Matt Bryant a warm-up shot.
Gotcha. Well, it was heartbreaking, obviously, for Seahawks fans, but, you know, week by week, a lot of us are losing our teams in the playoffs, and that's why it's great. There's only four teams left. Can't wait for next weekend. NFL Total Access this afternoon at 4 with our friend Andrew Siciliano, and during the season, of course, on DirecTV's Red Zone channel. Andrew, we'll talk to you next week, man. Have a great one.
Love you guys.
Hey, Lisa, it's the world-famous K-Rock at 8:23.
I'm going to tell you something shocking about our little friend Jimmy Kimmel that I just found out, Kevin. You're not even going to believe this.
What?
His show on ABC moved time slots, and now it's on at 11:35.
What?
Why don't they talk about that? Why doesn't ABC ever mention that?
And Jimmy Kimmel is kicking ass.
Hey, Jim.
How are you?
What's happening, fellas? How you guys doing?
We are good. How's that new time slot treating you?
You know, it's funny because after many years with you guys getting up at 4 o'clock in the morning, all of a sudden I have to get up an hour earlier. And you know me, I don't make the transition well.
No, you don't.
You don't.
you know, daylight savings time takes me like 4.5 months to get over.
That's what Jimmy has convinced himself is the deal. Oh, still, it's got to be daylight savings time. We're like, that's 2 months ago.
Well, whatever the case, I do not like getting up an hour earlier.
Well, thank you.
Well, it was very much a seamless transition. I mean, you are not one of those guys like, well, remember when Conan was going early? Everybody was like, oh, his stuff is too weird. It's too far out. He's going to have to change it up for the earlier audience. I mean, you're essentially being able to do the same show you've been doing, right?
Yeah, we're doing pretty much the same show. So I wish I was capable of doing an entirely different show. But
nah, your show's good.
Turns out.
Is there more scrutiny?
Lawyers? Yeah, you know, there has been more, but mostly because it's, you know, we have a new set and kind of a new way of shooting things and new commercial breaks, the way they're structured and all that stuff. But other than that, I put enough scrutiny on myself.
Yeah. Yes, you do. And one of the things that you've been saying, Jimmy, that I never heard a late night talk show host say before is you're smart enough to realize that it's not everything that's going on in the world who's number one at 11:30. In fact, most people aren't watching any of the big shows on the networks, right? You guys are all fighting for a tiny piece of the pie.
Yeah. It's not even, I mean, most is an understatement even. It's like 90% of the people watching TV are watching something else completely. And we haven't, you know, we're so focused on who's going to be the king of late night, which is dumb just to start with. But it's really like being king of a pathetic country like, say, Norway, for instance.
How dare you,
now, Jim,
first of all.
Speaking of being the king of late night.
Nothing against Norway, of course.
No, of course not. Just being.
I don't need a bunch of angry Norwegians storming my door.
Speaking of that, you have made no secret of the fact that you love and worship David Letterman, and yet I didn't see the ratings for the last 4 days, but the first night you killed him.
Well, we did. We actually finished number one for the week.
Okay,
I just got the ratings.
So you're trying to put the old man in a grave, basically, is what's happening here.
I mean, that's got to be bittersweet.
As my cousin Sal said, it's like you guys with Mark and Brian. You guys idolized them.
We didn't really, though.
For so many years. And
so you're kicking Dave in the head, but with his blessing, at least.
Yeah, I guess. Yeah, that's an interesting way of putting it. But, no, you know, I mean, listen, it's the first week. We could get very, very excited about our ratings this first week, but we know better than that because that would be a very stupid thing to do.
Yeah, it's a long haul, let's face it. All right, we have very limited time with Jimmy because he's busy, and I know he's got a meeting to go to in a couple of minutes, but I have to ask you about that.
We forgot about Santa Claus this year. It's a real tragedy. Is it wrong to do it?
Heartbreaking.
That's all on the king, by the way. I told him to get you, and he apparently dropped the ball on getting the message to you. We apologize on behalf of Santa Claus to all the little kids.
If you trusted John Stockton to get Carl Malone the ball, he'd have the ball right now.
That is true.
Let me ask you this, if you can. You went on vacation with Jennifer Aniston, among other friends.
Yes, it is true.
And it's still blowing my mind. But you talked about, when she was on your show the other night, about what it's like, briefly, with the paparazzi. Do they follow her everywhere, all the time, always, no matter what she's doing or where she goes?
Well, it's funny because I know that people may be misunderstanding you right now. What's blowing your mind is having friends and going on a vacation.
Well, there's that, sure.
But, yeah, it's crazy. I mean, they disguise themselves as fishermen. And they have boats, and they pretend to be fishing, and sometimes they pretend to have a baby in their arms, but really they have a camera in their arms, and they're just constantly taking pictures of her at all times. And if you put up a fence, they'll rent a helicopter or a plane and fly over and just keep passing over the house and taking pictures.
Is she miserable because of that? Because that sounds like a terrible way to live, Jim.
She has a pretty good attitude about it. She just kind of goes, all right, well, what are you going to do?
Wow. What are you going to do?
Everyone else gets all excited.
All right, Jim, let me ask you another question. I was watching, I think it's a Friday night show, and it occurred to me that you may have changed theories. Your original theory when you worked on this program was fat is funny. It looks like you've lost a lot of weight.
Yeah, well,
don't do that.
You can't go to the beach with Jennifer Aniston and not do that.
I had Guillermo to be fat for me. Just as I had Tad to be fat for all of us back then.
That's true. All right.
I love how Jimmy always has to have someone in his squad that is the fat part. That's awesome. Your job is to be fat, so I don't have to. Gosh, I hate that you have to go, and I hate that we're out of time.
Jim, I know, because you spent 19 minutes talking to the NFL guy about every play you don't actually care about.
Jimmy Kimmel Live airs weeknights at 11:35. Plus, check him out on the cover of Rolling Stone. It's more of Jimmy's ass than you ever hoped to see, but it's out there for everybody. Jim, continued success. Please, if you have time, come by and spend some time with us sometimes so we can catch up more.
I will be happy to do that.
Liar. You're the best, man. Thanks so much. Another hour and more Muse tickets for sold-out Staples Center shows next week. Matthew Wasson, if I don't know, from Los Angeles just win those. Your chance to win throughout the week coming up on K-Rock.
Blah, blah,
and
blah, blah, blah,
what?
Blah, blah,
what are we blah-blah-blahing about?
Let's get to it.
Come on.
The reason
I came in this morning.
That's where we're at. That's what's going on.
Stop wasting our time.
Explain again why there's a bit on things I say when everybody else says stuff too off the air and nobody makes fun of that.
There's no comparison.
There's a tremendous comparison. Have you heard Beer Mug lately?
Who listens to Beer Mug?
Yeah, nobody listens to him. Here's the thing, Bean. You have Asperger's. And one of the ways that it shows itself is that you can't tell whether the people that you're talking to have any interest in what you're saying. So I write stuff down verbatim, we revisit it, and we give you a chance to understand that we don't want this kind of conversation.
And how do you feel it's going so far since this is the 1,000th edition of Thanks for the Info?
And that's my fault? It doesn't mean we can stop.
But what's the point of still doing this? Why still publicly mock?
Evil wins when good men do nothing. That's why.
Info beans.
Right.
All right. You're a conversational bully, and we have to stand up to you.
I would just like to say, and I want the audience to keep this in mind as they're listening to what Kevin is about to read on the air, that is this just coworker conversation or is this something that deserves ridicule?
Get a dictionary. Look up conversation. It usually goes two ways.
And that's the point is that we're not having a conversation that he's just adding to. Most of the time there's no conversation going on and Bean comes out of the blue and says, did you guys know that Jimmy Kimmel has over 1,000 cookbooks?
Now, how is that not an interesting fact about our mutual friend Jimmy?
Well, first of all, it came out of nowhere. Second of all, we can't admit if anything you say is interesting because then you'll be emboldened for years. And Ralph said when he walked in, oh, for God's sakes, why did I have to come in right now?
Yeah, it's bad timing on my part.
Mugs. Sometimes Bean points it at a certain person because he thinks he's got a better,
tries to engage.
Yeah. Mugs, you know that pitchers and catchers report for camp in 68 days.
Now, that's a completely legitimate conversation
starter. And then Mugs says nothing.
Right.
And then Bean says,
pretty exciting.
I would like to say that that's a conversation that was going
Info B.
That was going on at business.
Fetch that Info B.
All over the country.
No, it wasn't. No, it
as
wasn't.
People get rant,
68
as people,
days.
Nope. As people start to get excited yes. about baseball right around the corner.
The ones yeah. who notice that it's 68 days till the training camp opens or whatever, keep it to themselves because they're not you.
I don't
because
think that's
Because they
true.
Go, hey, it's 68 days. I'm excited. I know no one else will
but
be.
But Sealy okay. doesn't even give a rat's ass yet.
Right, that's
let,
true.
Yeah. Let me ask you this then. Knowing that Muggs is a huge baseball fan, uh-huh. was it that legitimate to target that toward him? Because he's probably excited too.
Muggs, were you excited that it's 68 Muggs? Days?
Interested?
I'm more excited when spring's training actually starts.
Well, sure, because that's a thing.
Yeah.
You know what's not a thing? 68 days before.
Thanks for that Info Beam.
I went to Sambo's restaurant the other night. Nobody said anything. You guys remember Sambo's. And then Muggs said, seafood restaurant? And then Bean continues as if he didn't hear Muggs, which is really, I mean, he should have thanked Muggs. But then Bean continues, they had a bad advertising campaign. And then no one said anything. And then Bean said, they always had trouble.
Thank you. All the facts about Sambo.
And then no one said anything. Okay, so all of this, no one said anything, no one said anything, no one said anything. Defend this as a conversation starter, Bean. And then Bean continues with the last line, and then I'll let you respond.
You know the original Sambo's was in Burbank.
The original Sambo's was in Santa Barbara. That's the one that I went to, and it's also the only Sambo's that's left because all the rest of them
Info B.
Went out of business.
Thanks for that Info B.
Run out of town.
Thanks for that Info B.
The bad
ass Info B.
Paying the people.
Thanks for that Info B.
We don't need more info. We need less.
Who cares? Sambo's the last. Lots of people remember Sambo's.
Thanks for that Info B.
When you say I went to Sambo's last night and you get nothing back, that's the end. End of it.
Right. If you get no conversation back, you go, hey, no one was interested. I'm going to keep the rest of those facts to myself.
Huh. I'm going to think about that.
Here is maybe the best, certainly close to the longest one ever. And this is the one, this is the only reason I wanted to do this today. I stopped at a pilot truck stop in Olympia. Now, We weren't talking about weekend plans or driving.
We were talking about truck stops?
Truck stops. Nothing was going on. So then no one said anything. So then Bean continued.
When I saw they had crushed ice, it made me reconsider how I'm living my life.
Oh, my God.
Thanks for that Info B.
No one said anything. He continues.
Because we were dumbfounded.
You know how you have moments like that where you feel like everything you know is wrong? No one said anything. My whole worldview has fallen into disarray.
Now, I'd like to remind you, he's talking about crushed ice.
Yeah.
Thanks for that Info B.
No one. Still no one said anything. So now he's made like six comments in a row about crushed ice. And no one has responded because they're not allowed to, because that would encourage this.
And because what are you supposed to say?
What are you supposed to say?
Bean, you're right. Crushed ice is so much better than cubed
we
ice.
We don't give an F.
I can't believe you found a place that makes it available to you. That's the best.
So my whole worldview has fallen into disarray. Then nothing. God. And then Bean says, I'm not sure I can read this with a straight face. Bean says, crushed ice is such a luxury.
Thanks for that Info Bean.
It's such a luxury.
It is. It's like a Cartier wristwatch.
or
a Bentley.
Crushed ice is a luxury.
It's ridiculously expensive. Ice. You just can't get it anywhere.
You know, I get crushed ice. I take ice and a hammer.
Having crushed ice in your drink is like living on a cloud. It's just, it's like.
Thanks for that Info Bean.
I was just.
Thanks for that Info Bean.
So after crushed ice is such a luxury, I finally broke down. I was writing as fast as I could to keep up.
Sure.
I finally shouted, shut up! And then Bean finished with, crushed ice is like living in silk.
You have to admit, it's
thanks
awesome.
Thanks for that Info Bean.
And that's all I
thanks
would
for
say.
That Info Bean.
How awesome it
thanks
is.
For that Info Bean.
No, you said that you were reconsidering the way you live and
your
you everything you thought
changed.
Was wrong. And your
I
world
may
view-
have to move.
Because of crushed ice.
I don't want to have to drive 30 miles every time I want a big gulp. Just saying, it's great.
If only there was someone who would make a small household appliance that you could plug in, that you could put cubed ice into, and then on the other end would come crushed ice. If only someone had invented that, then you could shut the F up.
I'm not living in the future, Ralph.
Thanks for that info beam.
I'm with Ralph. Shut the F up.
This is awesome.
Oh, you guys. I'm glad Afro Man's working again.
That is by special request for Ralph Garman. He insisted we play that one here today on the Kevin
Bean Show. I asked for Gillionaire.
It's Monday. Ralph is here. Time for another look at the Showbiz Beat. What's going on?
This is what's going on. This movie's got it going on. I can't remember last time I was as excited about a film.
As
just
what?
From the trailer and from the posters, from what I've seen so far, as Hansel and Gretel.
Yes.
This thing looks awesome.
Yes, it does.
It's like one of those fantasy action adventure films that you just get your popcorn and sit back for 2 hours and go, oh, that's so cool. Great premise, too. I'm not a big fan of the reboots and the reimaginings and that kind of stuff. But to take Hansel and Gretel of fairy tale fame, a brother and sister who are on their own and they have to take on this witch. You all know the story, right? The gingerbread house and all that nonsense. And then update it and make them all grown up and they're still out there kicking witch ass. It's a slam dunk. How did no one ever think of this before? It's genius. So, and a great cast too, Jeremy Renner as Hansel and Gemma Arterton.
There it is.
That's a good deal right there. They have become witch vigilantes. Taking out witches left and right in the most inventive of ways. This film looks awesome. If you'd like to go, usually I give away tickets to the advanced screening that we do here at K-Rock.
Mm-hmm.
Not this time. If you'd like to go to the red carpet premiere of Hansel and Gretel, January the 24th at Grauman's Chinese Theater, call right now, 1-800-520-1067. That's the number to call. First five callers to get through will get a pair of passes to attend the red carpet premiere. That means you're going to see Gemma Arterton in person.
Yeah.
If you don't know who she is, you will be impressed.
Former Bond girl. You may know her from, I guess, Quantum is the one she was in. But she's just the best. And he's good, too. Jeremy Renner, he's just great. The movie's in everywhere, theaters everywhere on January the 25th, by the way, in case you don't win. But the night before, you may be on the red carpet with all the stars of Hansel and Gretel. While we're talking movies, it is Monday. That means we take a look at the box office and see who came out on top. Zero Dark Thirty this weekend was the number one film. $24 million.
Did you guys see that?
I've not seen it yet. No.
So good.
I'm way behind on movies. Way behind. I got a ton of stuff to catch up on. A Haunted House was number two, $18.8 million. Gangster Squad was third. I want to see that, I think, more than anything right now. Django Unchained, fourth. Les Mis was fifth. The Hobbit, Lincoln, Parental Guidance. Texas Chainsaw, 3D. And then Silver Linings Playbook. Number 10 on the list with $5 million. Rounded out the weekend. It was a big night last night in Hollywood as the Golden Globes were handed out. And that Jodie Foster. Can we just please leave Jodie Foster alone? Stop hounding her. Give her some privacy. Oh, that poor woman. All the times we're parked outside of her house asking about her sexuality and about her relationship with her girlfriend and her kids. We just keep pestering this woman and she's had enough.
We're going to play some highlights from that speech in the next half hour, but it is weird in the same speech to beg for privacy and then end the speech by talking about how lonely you are.
Yeah, it was a weird speech. She got the Lifetime Achievement Award, the Cecil B. DeMille Award, and my hopes were high when Robert Downey Jr. was presenting her. I said, this is kind of fun, and it's tongue-in-cheek, and it looks like they're having a good time, and then she just went off the rails.
Because I already did my coming out about 1,000 years ago, back in the Stone Age. In those very quaint days when a fragile young girl would open up to trusted friends and family, co-workers, and then gradually, proudly to everyone who knew her, to everyone she actually met. But now, apparently, I'm told that every celebrity is expected to honor the details of their private life with a press conference, a fragrance, and a primetime reality show. And, you know, you guys might be surprised, but I am not Honey Boo Boo Child.
All right, okay, you're a private person. All right, shut up. That's not even what we're here talking about. We gave you an award for all those movies you made. How about something about your career?
She has to address all the haters that think she's Honey Boo Boo Child. Because I've heard a lot of that.
Honestly, no one really has given a rat's ass about you, Jody, since that guy tried to kill a president to impress you. You really haven't been like in everyone's headlines.
And the gay thing seems like it was 30 years ago or something.
No one's been pressing her on that, too. I don't know where she feels all the pressure's coming from.
I don't know. She's weird.
She sure acted like a woman who has just been abused by the media and the public at large. To the best of my knowledge, we all pretty much leave her alone.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't know. She's losing it.
It was crazy. She came out so angry and defensive.
Yeah. She's gone bye-bye.
This is not a woman having a good time at her own celebration.
This may be the last time I'm ever on a stage.
Okay. Whatever. Then don't. I'm 50. All right. There's older people in the audience than you.
Stop yelling at us.
Should we all raise our hand and say what our age is? What's the matter with you? Crazy. I liked her better when she was Nell and she couldn't speak English. I made more sense out of her in Nell than I did on the stage last night. Anyway, congratulations to all the winners at the Golden Globes Awards. Today's celebrity birthdays. It is January the 14th. Faye Dunaway, 72 years old today. She, at one time, it's hard to believe now, was one of the biggest movie stars in the world. Now I can't remember the last thing I saw her in. Carl Weathers, Apollo Creed. From the Rocky movies, also from Predator, and a very funny turn on Arrested Development, 65 years old. Steven Soderbergh celebrates his 50th birthday today. LL Cool J from NCIS Los Angeles. Isn't it funny that we've all lived long enough to see all the hardcore rappers get recurring roles on TV shows now?
Yep.
All the guys, all the badasses were popping caps at each other and talking about killing cops and banging girls and getting the bling. Now they're all on a soundstage somewhere. Pretending to be in law enforcement. It's an odd time. Jason Bateman's 44 years old. Dave Grohl turns 44 as well. Caleb Folliwell of Kings of Leon is 31. And Zach Gilford, talented actor from Friday Night Lights and The Mob Doctor. He's 31. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz.
106.7 K-Rock is KROQ, and this is the Kevin and Bean Show.
They blow up the studio at the end of that song.
They do. Yeah. At 9:37.
Kevin, you were watching the Golden Globes last night. Did you see that guy with the shaved head on his sides and then the hair sticking straight up?
Oh, yeah.
Sitting at Lena Dunham's table?
Mm-hmm.
That's her boyfriend, who is the lead singer of that band Fun.
What?
That's Nate from Fun is her boyfriend. Yeah, that's why he was there, if you recognized him. So. 9:37, Ralph is here. Time for another look at the Showbiz Beat here on a Monday Kevin and Bean Show.
All I know is he gave her permission to be the person who feels there's no place in the world for her, and then he made it possible for her to give all the love she had to give and make all the room and all the space, and that's what this means for her, is giving more space for her room.
That's about right.
Oh, some of those speeches last night.
When I saw her
great
win.
Great googly moogly.
When I saw her win, I thought the only person that's happier than Lena Dunham is Bean. Is Bina Dunham.
I felt bad that before she accepted the award, they apparently hobbled her.
They did.
They hit her in the ankle with a sledgehammer.
They cut off both feet.
So she had to walk on broken ankles across the stage. That poor woman.
That was one of the weirdest things I've ever seen.
First of all, buy some shoes you can walk in.
First of all, she clearly has never worn dress shoes. Second of all, they put her about a mile away from the stage, so it was a very long walk.
She's like James Caan in Misery, trying to escape from Kathy Bates. Yeah, it was good times.
Why don't you like her, by the way, Ralph?
She
bugs?
She is a Jodie Foster in training.
Oh, no.
She's a woman who thinks way too highly about what she's doing and what it all means and the giant cosmic scheme of things and stuff. It's like, okay, make your funny TV show. We're all good. Thank you so much, Jodie.
But she's a voice of a generation.
I know. Oh, no. She's the voice of a generation.
That's not what
she's not a voice. She's the voice of a generation. And she's way too cool for school, man. That's all you need to know. Yep. She's finally made room in this world. When there's no one who ever had room. She finally got some room. And that's what that was like. If she had liked camp, it would have been like that. Like making that show. Oh. Wow. I feel so bad for all these people who have to go and make these TV shows and be famous and make money and be on television. It must be brutal. They all seem just so unhappy. It's all there. It's all struggling. All struggling. Buy some shoes. That's all I'm saying. Last night was the Golden Globes. Congratulations to all the winners, like Claire Danes and Damian Lewis of Homeland. I like Damian Lewis's speech a lot. There was a guy who just seemed happy.
And he put on that phony British accent and trying to make us feel like he was cool.
I was in London. Yeah, sure you were. Pacoima. We all know where you're from, Damien.
Homeland won for Best Drama Series. Girls won for Best Comedy Series. Lena Dunham, as we mentioned, won for Best Actress for Girls. Don Cheadle won for Best Actor in a Comedy from the Golden Globes with House of Lies. Game Change was the best TV movie or miniseries from the Golden Globes last night. Julianne Moore won for her portrayal of Sarah Palin. Kevin Costner won for his work in Hatfields and McCoys.
How is that still getting awards? Wasn't that 3 years ago?
It aired right before Game Change. How is that still getting awards?
I believe it was the bizarre early part of last year is when that came out.
Did you notice they said that he had last been nominated for and won a Golden Globe 22 years ago?
Dancing with the Wolves, right?
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah. Maggie Smith for Downton Abbey. Ed Harris for Game Change. Best dramatic movie, according to the Golden Globes, was Argo. Also won for Best Director, Ben Affleck. Best Actress in a Drama was Jessica Chastain from Zero Dark Thirty. Daniel Day-Lewis, no surprise there, won as Abraham Lincoln in the film Lincoln. Best Movie, Musical, or Comedy was Les Mis. Jennifer Lawrence, or J-Law, as Will Ferrell called her last night. Silver Linings Playbook. Best Actor from a Musical or Comedy was Hugh Jackman for Les Mis. Anne Hathaway did pick up an award for Best Supporting Actress for that same film. Christoph Waltz won for Django Unchained for Best Supporting Actor. I mentioned Ben Affleck won for Director, and Django Unchained won for Best Screenplay by Quentin Tarantino, too, who thanked all the people that he reads his script to.
Yes.
As he writes it. He doesn't ask for their opinion, doesn't want them to say anything. He just wants them to sit there and listen as he reads it out loud. Seems like a good border collie would serve the same purpose to you, Quentin Tarantino, as these friends of yours that you call on for their support and help.
But he was loaded too, right?
Oh, he was all juiced up. Yeah. Yeah. I do love the fact he did a spit take, though, when they came to him when he was nominated. I got to give him mad props for that. He's taking a little sip of champagne, and they said, Quentin Tarantino, and he did a spit take. You got to appreciate a good spit take. That was the Golden Globes. Let's take a look at the top 10 movies at the box office since it is Monday morning. This is what people went to see. Zero Dark Thirty was the big winner this weekend. $24 million made it number one. A Haunted House in its debut weekend made $18.8 million. What's wrong with you people? What is wrong with you,
Kevin?
I didn't see that.
Edged up Gangster Squad, which made $16.7 million, made it number three. Django Unchained and Les Mis were the top five. The Hobbit, Lincoln, Parental Guidance, Texas Chainsaw 3D, and Silver Linings Playbook, rounding out the top 10 moneymakers at the box office this weekend. Damn it. I hope Guilt Trip doesn't go away now that it's fallen out of the top 10. I haven't had a chance to see that yet. Hope it's not pulled from the theaters anytime soon. This struck me as nigh unbelievable as I read it this morning.
Okay.
In Europe, the Beatles' first smash hit single, Love Me Do, that was probably the big song that put them on the map for most people in the 60s when the Beatles hit the stage. You probably know the song, Love, Love Me Do. It was like their big first hit. Yeah. That song now has crossed over into public domain in Europe.
It's been that long.
You want to record that song, you want to put it in a commercial, you want to release it, you want to do a cover, boom, gratis, free, no worries. It's public domain now.
Wow.
You can use that song. It's crazy.
It is crazy.
50 years apparently is the limit in Europe for you for a song falling into public domain in terms of rights. In America, I found out it's 95 years. So the Beatles are good for another 45 years before they could still make some money.
Yeah, a lot of people feel like you should wait till the people are dead before you start taking away their profits from their music.
Right. So you're going to see that song in a lot of commercials in Europe, I'm guessing, within the next year.
Did you see what they did with a bunch of Bob Dylan songs? Did you see that story about Bob Dylan and his copyright running out? Same story?
No.
Sony they wanted, I guess you have to do some, I don't really understand the specifics of this, and maybe I shouldn't have brought it up, but Sony released a whole bunch of Bob Dylan tracks that have never been released before to keep the copyright current for the same reason, because it was expiring after 50 years because it had never been put out or something like that. So they released it, and they only made 100 copies of the CD and spread them throughout Europe. That's the only place you could get it, and then they're gone. But they had to. It was like a movie opening up to be considered for Oscars. They had to release it in some form, or they were going to lose the rights to it.
Had these been songs that were previously released?
No.
So it's the first release date of that song.
First release date, exactly. Yeah.
From. Well, why would anybody use a song by Bob Dylan that nobody knew before? You wouldn't want to use that anyway, right?
I don't know. It's just, it was in the same thing as this 50 years deal that you're talking about. It's these new laws. These songs from 1962, 63 are now starting to come up, and I bet we're going to see a lot of this sort of shuffling with people trying to figure out how to get around it.
Damn Europeans stealing our songs instead of paying what they're worth. Freaking stealing Europeans. I hate Europe. It'd be
like America. We're the good country. Give people money for things.
While we're talking about battles over money, Vivid Entertainment has announced that they are suing Los Angeles County.
Wow.
Suing L.A. County for that new law that forces porn actors to wear condoms. Here's the claim.
I was going to say, can you do
that? They're saying the law is an infringement on the actors' First Amendment rights, which, of course, is the right to bear penis. As we all know, if you've read the Constitution.
I don't think that's the first.
It's in the Constitution. Oh, huh. You have the right to bear penises.
Hmm.
Yeah. They say it is a unconstitutional prior restraint on freedom of expression, they're claiming. And so the big porn company is taking its lawyers and taking Los Angeles County to court, see if they can reverse that Measure B, that ruling.
I wonder how that's going to work out for them, because the other side will argue, hey, for the same reason we made people wear hard hats, we're just trying to protect workers.
Yeah. Well, maybe because it's considered even, maybe this may be a stretch, an artistic endeavor,
mm-hmm.
as opposed to building a skyscraper, which you'd be hard to argue is an artistic endeavor. If you're making a film, maybe they're saying it's their right to express themselves in that setting, in an artistic setting, however they see fit, and so they have a right to do so as whether they want to use condoms or not. It should be interesting, one way or the other, how it all shapes.
Absolutely. I'm going to be on that jury.
I do, too. I need more evidence, Your Honor. But my fellow jurors and I would like to see about 8 more hours of that that film you were showing yesterday. Let's see that again. Can we have some DVDs in the break room? Let's take a look at today's celebrity birthdays. Faye Dunaway, big-time actress at one point. She was one of the biggest stars in the world. Have you ever seen that Bonnie and Clyde? Boy, that's a great film. That's a classic.
I don't think I've seen her in
3 Days of the Condor. Last thing I really remember her being in, like, in a lead was the Don Juan movie that she made with Marlon Brando and Johnny Depp. She had a big role in that. 72 years old today. Carl Weathers, Apollo Creed from all those Rocky movies. And, of course, from Predator, did a very funny turn on Arrested Development. 65 years old today. He's in pretty good shape for 65, by the way. I still wouldn't like to meet him in the ring.
Yeah.
Steven Soderbergh, great director, 50 years old. Zach Wilde, guitarist for Ozzy Osbourne and other bands, 46 years old. LL Cool J, who's on NCIS Los Angeles, used to be a rapper.
Yep.
I guess he still is.
Now he's hosting the Grammys in a couple of weeks.
He's rapping about the Super Bowl. I saw him in a commercial this week.
Yep.
He is 45 years old. Jason Bateman, we were just talking about Arrested Development. He's 44. He's got that new movie coming out, Identity Theft. Looks funny.
Looks funny to me.
Looks funny to everyone I know. Almost. He's 44 years old. Dave Grohl of Foo Fighters, also 44. Caleb Folliwell of Kings of Leon is 31. And Zach Gilford from Friday Night Lights and the Mob Doctor turns 31 years old today. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
Thanks, Ralph. Tomorrow morning on an all-new Kevin and Bean show, we have Lorenzo Lamas in the studio.
Lola!
You call him Laura?
Lola.
Lola.
Yeah.
From
He's doing now. That's a guy who hadn't been on TV in years, it seems like.
On the best show on television, turns out.
From Joe Schmo.
The Joe Schmo Show.
Yeah, that one.
That
the Joe
one.
Schmo Show.
Uh-huh.
So we have him in. We have comedian Jeff Ross in the studio tomorrow. We have highlights of Honey Boo Boo tomorrow. And we have...
well, it's their Thanksgiving special, obviously.
Sure. First the Halloween, now Thanksgiving.
And we have comedian Jay Moore in the studio tomorrow as well.
Jay Moore's.
That's all tomorrow morning on an all-new Kevin and Bean.